Hey, how's it going? I'm Andy Jones, and this is episode 157 of the Photography Side Hustle podcast. Now, 2 days ago, we experienced the Aurora Borealis here in North America. Well, most people did. I forgot about it until I noticed everyone was posting incredible photos, and that was about 3 hours after it had started. So the photos that I got were okay. They're all right, but the colours were not as saturated as everybody else's. So last night, I was going to go out again, but it was raining and there was heavy cloud cover. So tonight, I'm hoping there's a little bit left. I got an alert on my phone saying that it's going to be, but it'll be nothing like Friday, but hopefully we can get some decent shots. That's if I don't forget, of course. So this week, the episode is 10 Ways to Sell Your Work. And it came about because I was chatting with another photographer about licensing photos, especially unique photos. So I started thinking about all the other ways that you can go about selling your work. So I'm going to start off with digital files. Now, the chances are you're already giving your images away for a fixed fee, which is fine. In fact, I would guess that 99% of photographers started off doing exactly the same as you. That is since the advent of digital cameras, because before digital cameras, there was no digital files, of course. If you shoot headshots or real estate, you're expected to give the customer the files anyway. So if you're shooting in that genre, don't worry about it. But with wedding, portrait and event photographers, you can make much more money with print sales. So you can sell physical prints through online galleries or directly to clients using in-person sales techniques. Now, I'm not saying that in-person sales techniques are the way to go. There's a light version of it that I've mentioned in past podcasts that is the way I would do it if I was starting again today. But I think that's going to be a whole new episode all on its own. So when you sell your work as prints, you can't offer prints side by side with digital files. They can't have equal billing. You have to sell one or the other. The only way a customer can get their hands on your digital files is if they spend over, let's say, $800 on prints. And then they can buy them for, say, $300 or $250 or whatever you want. Or you could give them the digital file that was used in the print that they buy. So many photographers in the Facebook group and all over the internet want to sell prints but say that no one is interested in buying them. The customer doesn't buy the prints because they can get the files off you. It's not that they don't want prints, they do. Their intention probably is to get the files and go buy prints, but 90% of the time they don't. You've got to draw a line in the sand and switch to prints only. Your website should make it obvious that you sell prints and give them an idea of the pricing. It's the only way to do it. If you shoot weddings, portraits, landscapes, or street photography, you can also sell through your website using your online galleries. The simplest way is to use packages aimed at photographers like SmugMug, PixieSet, and all the others that are out there. There's a lot of them now. And they have everything covered, including links to photo labs where they print your order and mail it directly to your customer. The next way to sell your work is local markets and craft fairs. Now, setting up booths at local markets and craft fairs or art festivals is a great way to sell prints and interact directly with potential customers. Members of our Facebook group sell at craft fairs and markets, and they seem to be doing very well. A few years ago, I was chatting with a photographer at a cottage and home show, and he sold landscapes, waterscapes, pictures of sunflowers, in fact, anything that someone would want on the wall of their home or cottage. Most of his income came from people visiting this type of event. So you need to put as much effort into choosing where you sell as you do picking the genre that you shoot. That photographer could have just posted his work on his website and made a handful of sales and been okay with it. But he got a booth at the cottage show where visitors expected to buy things for the cottage. Next one is stock photography websites. 20 years ago, top Microstock photographers made $1 million plus a year from posting over 25,000 photos each on a stock website. There's two guys in particular that made way over $1 million from the stock websites. And I know each one had over 25,000 images on each of the stock websites. And yeah, $1 million. They're not doing it now. Probably not. They're probably retired. But income from these sites has dropped massively in the last 20 years, which is to be expected. Things change. One of the sites I used to use was called CanStock. And I used to get commissions for each photo that was sold for 25 cents. You heard it, 25 cents. I think last time I looked, I had I probably sold about 50 images and made, I don't know, $12 or $13, something like that. It was ridiculous. Just wasn't worth doing it. They were just robbing everybody blind. It was crazy. Anyway, the end of last year, they closed down. Surprise. And I'm sure more of them are going to close down too. The best ones are iStock, iStockPhoto.com, the Adobe Stock Images website, and there's another one called Pond5, P-O-N-D-5, number 5. And that is owned by iStock, I think, but it concentrates more on video. Those are decent ones, and the Adobe one is pretty good. I've sold photos through that, and you can set your own price. So I've got my price set, I don't know what it is, $6 or $7. But it's still, even if you sold a lot of them, you're not making much money. They make the massive part of the money there. You're just getting cents on the dollar. It's an old-fashioned way of doing it, and its days are done, especially with AI, where someone can just say, tell the AI, give me a picture of, and it produces. So it's not worth even thinking about stock photography. So now, next one, online marketplaces. Now, selling prints, digital downloads through places like Etsy, eBay, Amazon Handmade. I find these sites are a bit of a race to the bottom regarding prices. It's like on Etsy, you only seem to get sales if you're cheaper than everybody else. And then someone else drops their price and you got to drop yours. And again, you're making pennies instead of dollars. It's not a good way to go. Next one is fine art prints. Now, selling limited edition or signed prints as fine art pieces through galleries, art shows, or specialized fine art websites. To get into this market, you need to produce images that are up there with the very best. If you can do that, you can make a really good living doing it. For me, my big problem is when someone says fine art prints, my question is, where does fine art start and end? You'll see some people, oh, I'm a fine art photographer, you know, and they took a picture of a cow in a field. It's not really fine art, that, is it now? It's just a cow in a field. So, yeah, I know there's some landscape photographers that do some beautiful, like, minimal pictures on beaches or, you know, that kind of thing. Just stunning, stunning images. And those are fine art. Anyway, it's one to consider. Next one is commercial licensing. Now, as I said at the beginning of the episode, I was chatting with another photographer about licensing unique images. And this came about because the Aurora on Friday night, she took a photo of a business sign during the big light show, and it looked absolutely fantastic, and it got me thinking. Now, Aurora events, Northern Lights, don't happen very often, and capturing the lights and a business sign makes the image unique. It's so unique that business owners would pay good money to use it on their website, social media, advertising, or any other project that they're doing. When you license an image to someone, they pay you for the right to use it in different formats. So you could license it for website and social media use, or it could be reproduced in a book. The more they want to use that image, the more they have to pay for it. They have to expand their license. If you look at stock photography companies like iStock, they sell generic photos to as many people as possible. So that is one photo to sell to many. If your photo is unique, like the business sign during the light show the other night, you have one image that would interest only one buyer. In this case, it's one photo that can't be reproduced anytime soon. For this reason, you could get way more money licensing it. So because of that, if the light show is on tonight, I'm going to be driving around the local town and trying to get images of business signs, restaurants, whatever, with the Aurora in the background. and I'm going to be approaching these companies, hopefully. I'm not expecting too much with the lights tonight, but if it does come off, if it does work, then hopefully I can cash in. Product photographers at the top end of the industry use licensing. Huge corporations like Nike, Apple, etc. pay massive amounts of money to use images in worldwide advertising. So I came across fairlicensing.com, which answers all the questions about licensing photos and getting paid if someone uses your photo illegally. I'll put it in the show notes and I'll be over at photographysidehustle.com/157. The next way that you can sell your work is merchandise. Now, creating merchandise such as calendars, postcards, photo books featuring your images is a really good way to go. I've done calendars for sports teams. I've considered doing, but I never got around to it, for local towns. You've got to start taking your pictures, though, in January or even before Christmas, ready for the year after, so that you've got all the seasonal pictures to use on each month. And I'm talking about going around taking pictures of the town, of the businesses, or any landmarks, that kind of thing, and then making a calendar with it. You can do the same with postcards and sell them in the local stores. Photo books are a great starting point. Suzanne Hawking, who was on the podcast in March, used a photo book to get way more bookings, and it really paid off. If you haven't listened to it yet, you should. It's March 30th, I think it came out. Yeah, merchandising is not a bad way to go. The next one is art rentals. Now, this is a new one to me. There are companies out there that lease artwork to individuals and businesses for a specified period of time. So if you shoot landscapes, consider contacting one of these companies. I'm not sure if they buy the prints from you or they look after them and give you a percentage. It's worth looking into, though, and maybe consider leasing them out to these businesses yourself and miss out the rental company. The next one, which is similar, is corporate art sales. Selling photographs to businesses for use in hotels, offices, restaurants, and any other commercial space, I'm thinking would be very profitable. All you got to do, you just set up a website showing all your work, just a massive portfolio with everything, and give them a choice of buying or leasing. Leasing, just think rental. They pay you X amount a month for all these images on the wall. And then you could do a deal where every 6 months you change the images over. You can just be in their offices for the rest of, as long as they're in the offices, you could be renting out your images to them. Because when big companies update or they move into new offices, they splash the money around. So why wouldn't you want to be the one helping them to spend it? Okay. That is it for episode 157. If you need help with anything, you can find me in the Facebook group. I'll put a link in the show notes and over at photographysidehustle.com/157. And while you're there, you can support the show and buy me a coffee. I'll be back next week with a memory card full of waffle. Talk to you soon. Bye.